No bo všech jenom kýmánu vygíjánu. The people are starting to zman. They were able to start in Uzman to return to the teachings of Rabbeinu or Shivas Yimei Bereishis of Lev Yitzchak and Sarasasha from Bedichev. Tonight is the Bedichev's Yahrzeit, I'm sure you all know that. Tonight's the Yahrzeit, you didn't know. Tonight's the Yahrzeit. Just now, became just a few minutes ago. 5 minutes ago, Rabbeinu Tam became just now Chafei Tishrei is the Bedichev's Yahrzeit. Kedusha's Lev is Yahrzeit. That's why it's a tremendous, tremendous zechiah that we're starting again. I don't know, at least in America, if anybody's already, there are different groups that are learning Kedusha's Lev tonight, and they're going to be talking about Kedusha's Lev, but we might be the first one. Because you could be sure that the chassidim are, it's going to be, I didn't have marv yet, so it's not going to be for a while. So it's the Kedusha is Yahrzeit, and it's a tremendous, tremendous zechiah. What a schus for us to talk about the tzaddik and to continue to learn Kedushas Leib, which I'd like to do now. We should have a nice winter's month. We could spend a good couple of months learning different Torahs and speaking about and telling stories. I want to maybe mention Tolchanika. There's just a lot to get, a lot of Kedushas Leib. Kedushas Leib is, it cleans out the system. You might not realize it when you're doing it, but then it just happens to you. Kedushas Leib has a kayak to bring us to a good place. So, we're going to learn Torahs. We're going to learn two Torahs from Kedushas Leib and Bereishis. But I want to talk a little bit about the tzaddik. We were talking about his life and different stories. With the Bedichva, we don't have it. There's no biography written of the Bedichva. He's one of those Jews that, he's more a Torah Shabbal Peth than Torah Shabbal Chsav. It's not able to put him into writing. There are tzaddikim like that. That even though we have, there are a thousand stories. There are a thousand stories, but you know, a real, it says in the Swan that a real secret is something that even after you say it, it's still a secret, right? Secrets, in the world, the secret is once you say the secret, it's already finished. I found. Everybody knows it's no good. But a real secret, even if you say it, it's still a secret. The Bedichva was such a person, him, Rabbi Nachman, another tzaddikim, that even though we have thousands of stories, but after you tell the stories, you don't know, like, it's still a secret, it's still a secret. So, it's a good way to begin, by just telling a few stories. Again, I don't know, when it comes to the specific times, the specific dates, and so on. We'll talk more about that when he became Rav Bedichev. I'm going to spend some time over the next few weeks talking about who his teachers were, who his chaverim were, and how he related to the chaverim, who was Rebbeim, who were some of his major disciples. We'll talk about all those things, but we don't have, to the best of my knowledge, that there's no biography. You know, putting it all together and saying where he was on Tuesday and where he went on Thursday. Even when he was there, nobody knew where he was. That's what I'm trying to explain. I've probably read every story that's in print about the Bedichev. And it's just a mystery. It's just a site. It's a secret. So when Rav Lev Yitzchak, when he was married, we spoke a little bit about the father-in-law was extremely excited. Father was extremely excited to get such a metziah of a son-in-law. He was a genius of geniuses, and he was one of the rising stars in all of the young Talmid Chacham geniuses of learning. And the father-in-law was extremely upset when Lev Yitzchak began to make his long visits to Mizrach HaMagid. His father-in-law, like many of the fathers-in-law, in that early generation, was not a chassid, was basically against the whole thing, and there was tremendous tension. There's no question about it. We have many, many stories of these differences and machlokesim, and many great Jews grew out of that kind of tension. So. There's a famous story that I'm sure that you all know, but I, There are two stories that I wanted to begin with tonight, and then we're going to learn some Torah. When he came back after a long trip to Mezrich, after the Beditra came back from a long trip, so his father-in-law was very upset about how much time he was wasting. You know, here you have somebody, a son-in-law, who's going to be the next Gadol HaDor in learning, and he's spending like, you know, months just on the road, schlepping and going, and then and he doesn't know what he's doing. Though, is he drinking? And what are they doing? You know, what's going on over there in Mezrich? So the father was very upset. So he asked him when he returned. The father-in-law asked him, why did he need to make these trips to go visit his teacher, to visit his rabbi? And what was it that he was learning there? He couldn't learn Svarm. The father-in-law was a wealthy person, and he said, any sefer that you want, I'll give you. What is it that you're learning over there that you can't learn in any of the books that you have, or I'll get you, or whatever you want. What do you learn over there? So the B'dishva said, in Mezrich I learned that there's a creator who made heaven and earth. That's what his answer was. Pasha Precious, right? So he said, in Mezrich I learned that there's a creator who made heaven and earth. So the father-in-law, you know this, right? So the father-in-law couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe it. So he said, that's what you're learning in Mezrich. So he called over the maid. Some nice Jewish girl, a simple girl. And he said, tell me something, whatever her name was, you know, Chai, tell me, Chayla. Is there a creator? Of course there's a creator. Who's the creator? The Abish is the creator. You know, God created the world. So he said, thank you, go ahead, go away. So he said to the Badich, he said, so even Chayla knows that God created heaven and earth. For that, you have to spend months schlepping, leaving the family, and so she also says that knows there's a creator. So the B'ditchev's answer was, she says it, but I know it. And that's what it boils down to. She says it, but I know it. And that's what I'm learning by Mezrich Magid. You can go your whole life saying it. And what about reading in the Svarim? What about learning the Svarim? So they're beautiful Svarim. Vidich wasn't saying that. But Vidich was saying, Vidich says that when I go to Mezrich Magid, when I'm there, I know it. And I come back knowing it, not just saying it and speaking about it, but I know it. This was the way of the Baditshiva. I know it. I know it. There's a Maisa put down here in Rav Zevin. It's a very wonderful Chassidish stories are beautiful. But when you have a person of Rav Zevin's stature, Rav Zevin was a genius in learning. When you have Rav Zevin writing over Chassidish Maisim, it's like, it's a whole different thing. Such a Talmud Chacham, such a great person. So Rav Zevin tells about a meeting between Rav Levi Yitzchak from Baditshev and the Chassam Sofer. Now the Chassam Sofer, there's great controversy whether he was in favor of Chassidim or neutral or against Chassidim. Chassidim, of course, say that he love the Chassidim, and they include him even in the Svarim with Chassidus. They always put him also the Chassam Sofer. They already made him into a Rebbe. And the Misnagdim say, no, it's not true. The Chassam Sofer wasn't. He didn't go for the Chassidim, and he wrote something like that. And the Metzius is that the Chassam Sofer's Rebbe was the Haflo, was Reb Pinchas Halevi Horowitz, the brother of the Rebbe of Shmalki. And that the Chassam Sofer quotes Tanya in his Svarim. And he quotes Mezrich Magid. And the Chassam Sofer, you could argue like this or like that, but he receives from the Haflo. His Rebbe was one of the closest disciples of Mezrich Magid. At any rate, the Chassam Sofer certainly did not know the Baditshiva. Like this, they didn't know each other. But Rav Zevin tells a story about the Kedushas Levi visiting the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer didn't know who he was, and he didn't say his name. It was the Yid that came, the Jew that came in, to the Rav of Pressburg. And the Chassam Sofer, of course, was in the middle of a was in the middle of a deep thing in learning. He was in the middle of a Tosfos. Tosfos, a commentary in the Gemara, is very, very complicated. And Chassam Sofer was in the middle of this Tosfos. And the Beditcher was standing there. Chassam Sofer said, have a seat. He didn't know who he was. He said, have a seat. And the first thing the Chassam Sofer asked him was, do you know how to learn? No. What does the Chassam Sofer ask you? Like, you know, you have to be crazy to be a man to go visit the Chassam Sofer without being prepared, right? You know. So the Chassam Sofer said, do you know how to learn? So the Beditcher had just come from the road. It was a very long trip. And the Beditcher said, if I would be able to have a nice home and to sit quietly and peacefully like a Rav of Pressburg, meaning like you, like the Chassam Sofer, and I would be able to have breakfast and lunch, so maybe I would also know how to learn a little bit. So Chassam Sofer understood that he was giving him a little bit of a musa, that you don't ask a Jew about his learning if he's coming from a long journey, he probably didn't have anything to eat or drink. The Chassam Sofer says, I understand. And he called the maid to bring the Beditcher, to bring Kedushas Levi, to bring him something to eat. So you bring him some Zionists and some schnapps. So she brought him some cake and some schnapps. And the Beditcher was sitting there, and the Chassam Sofer was looking at him. And the Beditcher was just, nothing's happening. So the Chassam Sofer says to him, why don't you eat? Have a drink. So the Beditzvah said, look, it says in the Gemara in Brachas, Lashem Ha'aretz Imloa. The Gemara says in Brachas that the Gemara brings the pasuk that the entire universe belongs to Hashem. But then the other pasuk says, Ha'aretz Nasan Levnei'adam, that the earth has been given to man. So the Gemara, of course, explains, how could that be? It says that it belongs to God, and the other pasuk says it belongs to man. So the Gemara's answer is like Kasha, there's no contradiction. Before a Jew makes a bracha, then the world belongs to God. After a Jew makes a bracha, then the world is given to him. So the Beditcher said, so as long as you're telling me to eat, but it's your food, he says to Chassam Sofer, and if you don't make a bracha, means that you haven't acquired this yet, it belongs to Hashem, and you can't be mechabed anybody else. You can't give anybody else to eat. So the Chassam Sofer sees that he has somebody that knows something, this unusual person. So the Chassam Sofer smiled, and he said, okay. So Chassam Sofer, in a way, he's with the Gemara, the whole thing's an interruption, and he doesn't even know who this guy is. So Chassam Sofer makes a bracha from the Zionists, and the Schnapps, and he's Mechabed the Beditcher, and the Beditcher says, now it belongs to us, it belongs to us. And the Beditcher makes a bracha. Good. So now the Chassam Sofer has so tell me, do you know how to learn something? Now that you had something to eat, and you had a drink, so do you know how to learn something? So the Beditcher said, if someone tells me a Devar Torah, I can understand it. If someone tells me a Devar Torah, I can understand it. So tell me, says the Rav of Pressburg, should tell me a Devar Torah, and I'll try to understand. So the Chassam Sofer sat over that Tosfos. And he was working on this Tosfos for over a week. The Chassam Sofer, the greatest mind in the world, was working on the Tosfos for a week. And Chassam Sofer said, I'm stuck in this Tosfos. No, what do you think? So what did the Beditcher do? The Beditcher starts to scream out, L'dov mizma, he starts to scream out, Telem, the Kibbutz Telem. L'shem ha'aretz mo tevel v'yoyishreva, ki hu ha'yamim yisoda, like Rosh Hashanah. He starts to scream out. Screams out, Kibbutz Telem, he starts to scream out, Psalm. Telem. So, you know, when the Beditcher went to the Dreikis, it's well known that he used to jump on tables and fall on the floor. So the Beditcher jumps on the table, screaming, Hashem, Horizon, Mukhev, he's saying this whole capital, screaming out, and then he goes on the floor and he starts going, underneath the table, and the Chassam Sofer doesn't, never saw anything like this in his life, he was just asking him the Tosfos, what he thought. So, then after finishing the Tehillim, the Beditcher sits down on the chair and tells him the most unbelievable pshat and Tosfos that the Chassam Sofer ever heard in his life. That I've never heard such a thing in his life, such learning. so I guess we would say in modern terminology, he was blown away, right? So the Chassam Sofer says to him, "No, I see now that he speaks to him in the third person, the Kvoidoy. I see that your honor knows how to learn. So could you explain to me what just happened with that Tehillim and the jumping around and all that? What did that have to do with Tosfos?" So listen to what the B'nai Shiva said. And this is what it means, I know it. People say it, but I know it. The B'nai Shiva said that the name of the author of the Tosfos that you asked me, of that Baal Tosfos, his name is hinted at in this Tehillim. And he showed the Chassam Sofer how in the Gematrias and the Rosh HaTevis of that chapter of Tehillim, that Baal Tosfos is his name. In that chapter, that Tosfos, the author of that Tosfos' name is found at that chapter of Tehillim. And when you asked me the Tehillim, I davened to Hashem that Baal Tosfos should be able to come down from his Heichel, from his chamber in Shemayim, into my mind, and to explain to me Pshat and Tosfos. That's how I knew Pshat and Tosfos. Some people say over Tosfos, and the B'nai Shiva knew Tosfos. He knew Tosfos. It's an unbelievable meisah. we don't know anything. I mean, the Mishnayim say this never happened. But they ask a kashu, when was the B'nai Shiva in Pressburg? How could it be? They're already trying to check the calendars and at what point and so on. But the Chassidim believe in this. And there's a Kabbalah that this is the meeting between. There's a meeting between the Chassam Sofer and the B'nai Shiva. And one last tiny story, and then we're going to start to learn ourselves. Kedushas Levi. One time, one of the Chassidim came into this Medrash, and it was before davening. And the Kedusha, when he walked in, the shul was empty except for the Kedushas Levi. And when the Chassid walked in, he saw the Kedushas Levi was dancing. So the Chassid waited until the Rebbe stopped dancing, and he says, "Rebbe, I can understand dancing during davening, that the davening gets you excited. That I can understand. But why are you dancing now? Davening hasn't even started. Why are you dancing now?" So the B'nai Shiva said that when I said the bracha, I just finished saying the bracha, Shlos ani goy. That the B'nai Shalom hasn't made me into a Gentile. The B'nai Shalom made me into a Yid. That I'm a Jew. So I just said that bracha, thanking Hashem for making me a Jew. And I couldn't contain my joy. There's no greater simcha, there's no greater joy in the world, the B'nai Shiva said, that I never even worked for, and I'm totally undeserving. I didn't have to work for it, I didn't do anything. Is there any greater treasure than that person could have than to be a Jew? And when I thought about this, he says, I had to dance. So it's again, that we say the bracha, and the B'nai Shiva knew the bracha. And that's what the B'nai Shiva is. That's what the B'nai Shiva is from. That's what Kedushas Levi. That's what Kedushas Levi is all about. And that's why I believe that when you learn Kedushas Levi, even though there are many, many things in here that are very difficult, and even the pieces that we think we understand, we don't really understand. But because of the strength of the tzaddik's love of Jews and his love for Hashem, it's such. You experience Hashem when you learn his Svarim in a very strong way. You experience. It's not. You don't just say it. You know it. You know it. And the B'nai Shiva gives that over to us, that awareness, that knowledge. So let's learn some Kedushas Levi and Parshas Bereishis. You have page Zion. You should have, there are two pages. There's Zion, and there's Zion Ches, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel. That's what you have. Zion Ches, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel.
Huh? Some battery is empty, should turn it over.
The battery is empty after some story of the battery. The battery has just been recharged. What's this thing?
Mm.
So that's what we'll try to do each week. We'll try. We'll start. We'll begin with a few stories, and then we'll learn some Torah. Okay, where it says on page Zion, right? There are two sides: Zion Ches, Yud Beis Yud Gimel. On Zion, on the left-hand side, Ba'ofen Acher. You see it on the bottom, Ba'ofen Acher. Al Pasuk V'Ha'aretz Ha'isa Sohu Avo. Now that's a tough pasuk. It's the pasuk that makes you feel really empty. It's the pasuk before Vayhi Or, right? So the tzaddik explains, and the earth was empty and void. Hagam laham even the ha'avedus ha'boyve baruch hu, who perish rishon. Da, he says, ki bepula seinu uvema seinu hatov, that with our good actions, with the good things that we do. We are able to awaken the Midas HaElyonim, meaning that we're able to awaken the higher Midas of Hashem Yisbarach. L'hashpia shefa rav l'chol ha'olamos ha'elyonim. That to the extent that we engage in good and positive things in this world, then of course we all know and we believe that in turn, that awakening from below brings about an awakening from above, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ulechol ha-malochim, ulechol ha-neshamas, ulechol ha-cholos al-yayinim. And all the malachim respond to our avodah, all the angels, and all the neshamas, and all the cholos al-yayinim, the highest chambers and the highest worlds. Va'onu b'ma'aseinu ha-toivim, that we with our good deeds, with what we do, uvekiyim mitzvoysav, and by being mekayim the mitzvahs, and by our keeping the mitzvahs, ubelimud Torah, and learning Torah, onu hagormim shefa b'chol ha'olamos. This is what I was talking about last night at the Nilas Achag. That be'emes, the truth is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pouring into our lives unbelievable shefa, unbelievable bracha, in response to all the good things and all the good thoughts and good words that we awaken within ourselves. The ikar hu b'tchilu rechim. However, the ikar is, the main thing is, to do what? That we should do these things b'tchilu rechim, with great emotion, with great fear, and with great love, with great awe and great love. As we spoke about over Yontif, that the Zohar Kodesh says that a mitzvah that's done without fear and without love, it's a mitzvah, but it doesn't have wings. It doesn't fly, it doesn't take off, it doesn't go there. Right? You might say it, but you're not, that's what the Rebbe was saying, but you don't know it. So, b'tchilu rechim, that's the ikar. K'moyishi hizironu akosu v'af yisrael ma'ashom akechshol mimach. As it says in the pasuk, and now Hashem says, what does Hashem ask? What do I ask of you? Ki im liras Hashem. To what? To fear me and to love me. Val yedei ahav v'yir. And through love and through fear. Uv'koach midoseinu hatovim. And with the koach of our work on our own personal midas. Onu ma'irim ha-midas al-yonim ha-olam. In other words, as we learned, and we spoke about this before the Yom Tovim, that when we try to be kind to another person, to another Jew, we try to be kind, so that awakens the Midas HaChesed in the higher world. Every single thing that we're doing in this world awakens the corresponding Midah in the higher world. Hashemehem Bod, next slide. Bria Shemayim V'aretz. Hashemehem Bod, Bria Shemayim V'aretz, which means that this is how heaven and earth were created. This is the way that the world, this is the way that the world was created, and this is the way that the world continues, this is the way that the world continues to be created. The way that the world continues to be created is through our constant effort in mitzvahs and masim tovim and drawing down that life, that vitality from above. Asher netzlu v'nivru kodem shamayim v'aretz. Kasha b'yana b'tevas es ha-shamayim v'es ha-aretz. Rosh Abedichu explained earlier at the beginning of the parasha, he spoke about this a great deal, that before creation, before there was any world, before there was anything that we know of, and before there was any world to be able to receive the Shefa from Hashem, the blessing from Hashem. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at that time, all there was, was the anticipation of the Avodah of Klal Yisrael. Hashem created the world with what we were going to do, that there were going to be Jews, that were going to be Ovdei Hashem. And now that there is a world, our Avodas Hashem is what keeps this world going. That through our actions below, we awaken that which is above. And Hashem, with His great love for us and His great compassion, He has taught us these midas. He has taught us how to live. He's taught us how to live in this world, how to think, how to react. And that through these midas, we'd be able to, He gave us a way to be ma'ir the midas al yoinim. V'limidasanu hamidas hatayvim, v'zeo v'haaretz ha'isa so v'vo. Now what does this have to do with the Pasuk? The Pasuk says that the earth was empty and void. So the Rebbe explains, V'ha'aretz ha'isa so v'vo, shekol ha'tayves ha'gashmi, yechashuv me'lov ka'ayinu ke'efes. Hashem began by saying that in order to be in this world, and the reason that the world was created, everything in the world is a test for us, and the beginning of being an Eved Hashem is to be able to understand that the physical world as we see it is tohu vavohu, is empty and void. The world that we look at, that we see, that we take so seriously, that means so much to us, is tohu vavohu, is ka'ayin u'cha'efes. Mizeh ha'aretz. That's what it means. The earth. The earth meaning klamar. Shataivas ha'artzias. It means earthly desires. It doesn't mean, God forbid, that the world isn't a good place, but it means that if you see the world as an end unto itself, earthly desires v'ha'aretz. Hey ma'ataivas ha'gashim. Ha'isa so'u v'avohu. Ha'isa so'u v'avohu means that You have to think and you have to understand that the earth for its own sake is empty and void. It means nothing. It's empty and void. Klima ayin ve'efes. V'omar ha'kosuv v'choshech al pnei tahoin. And the pasuk continues. And there was darkness upon the depths. V'choshech al pnei tahoin. V'ruach elokim rachefes al pnei amayim. And the ruach of Hashem was hovering upon the face of the water. So listen what a beautiful thing he says. Hashem Yisbaruch Hayra Yisano Midas Yisharim. Hashem Yisbaruch, as he explained, has taught us how to live the proper way. And that by living this way, we're able to cause the higher world, we're able, kivyachol, to bring about that Shefa from the higher world. So by my living according to the midas of Avraham Avinu and Chesed, and Yitzchak is Gevura, and Yaakov is Emes, and so on and so forth, by me living that way, I'm able to tap into those higher midas of Hashem's Chesed, Hashem's Gevura, and Hashem's Rachmim, and so on. So he says, "Sheyagel ha'oda misatzim v'mekayim gila sham tehei ha'oda." meaning that a person should accustom himself in this world to living in this way of joy combined with fear. Gila, which means celebration and joy. But where there's joy, there has to be also trembling. It means trembling with joy. Joy is trembling and trembling in joy. Okay, Rashna, what does that mean? Shikashemar Hamelach Laavda Itzrois of Agnuzim Umem Shaltu Guros of Echol of Echador Vanulim. He says that what that means is that when the king shows his servant the unbelievable treasury, then he has a treasure, and he shows him the Itzrois of Agnuzim, the hidden treasure, and Mem Shalto, his sovereignty, his strength, and Guros of Echol of Achador of Hanulim, and he shows him the chambers and the rooms that are all locked. Oz Magila Avdei Simcha V'chadva. The servant of this king is filled with tremendous joy. Why? So even though he doesn't know, he doesn't understand what's contained in all these amazing rooms, he doesn't understand. Still, the joy that he has is Sheroya Eitzorim Hagnuzim V'nechmodim. That he's fortunate to be able to see that there are these treasures. He's filled with joy at the great privilege and honor that he has, the schus that he has to serve such a spectacular, powerful king. But at the very same moment that he's filled with joy at the schus that he has to serve such a king, at the same moment he's trembling and he's filled with terror. What could I do? How could I possibly serve such a king? How could I ever be yotzei in serving such a king? Nothing that I could ever do could ever equal, could ever be worthy of this king. So at the moment that it dawns upon a person, and some of us can remember that moment, it might be more than a moment, but every now and then, when it hits you that this is really a big thing, this Yiddishkeit, and that the Bani Shalom is unbelievable, something happens in your life. Sometimes a person is zayicha, one of the most wonderful things to be zayicha, to have a baby, to see a baby being born, you know, in the mishpacha. So when that happens, like you feel that Hashem is taking you by the hand, and He's showing you such a treasure. And you're filled with unbelievable simcha. But at the same moment that you're filled with simcha, you feel, boy, I'm never going to be able to pay him back for this. And not just pay back, I'm never going to be yaitzel with my avoida for all, not just the good that Hashem has done for me, but that the king is so great, he's so, and why should I be anything? Bechlal, why should I be anything? Why should he even consider me? My energy says, Geren, who am I? So it's confusing. On the one hand, there's this great joy when one realizes how great Hashem is. And at the same time, there's this trembling and there's this fear. Anybody who doesn't take their Yiddishkeit seriously, or was just saying but not knowing, is not particularly joyous, not particularly frightened. The average Jew, he should live and be well, who might even put on tefillin every day, he's not particularly thrilled with it, but he's also not particularly worried about it. Not this and not that. So sometimes when you take Yiddishkeit very, very seriously, and you find yourself being so worried and so nervous, especially when it comes to Yontif, Yom Kippur, and you're filled with fear about what am I doing in my life and so on. So sometimes a person entertains a crazy thought. I don't know if you've ever had this thought. Sometimes a person can have this thought, like, I was better off when I wasn't so serious about it. It was such a machai. It was a machai, you know. I wasn't afraid. I was just like everybody else, you know, I wasn't afraid, didn't get me nervous. So the Bishop is saying that this is the way of a Jew. That when you realize and when you have this chus that Hashem shows you that treasure, because you know, when we have that thought, when we have that feeling of Hashem's greatness, when it strikes us how great Hashem is, that means that the king is showing you his treasury. Now you might not know that that's happening, but Hashem is doing that with you in your life. He's showing you something great. And your neshama knows it. So you feel tremendous simcha, you're all excited. But then at the same time, you feel that you're just not, there's nothing you could do. What could I possibly do? How could I possibly serve such a king? Do to serve such a king? The kol shekeinim oivra mitzvoisov. Chas v'shalom. And certainly, of course, how much more so does a person feel this when, God forbid, he's doing aveiros? Neifel olav chil ve'emu ra'odah. He feels like killing himself. Not only am I not serving the king, who's so great. Not that I'm not, forget about not Yotzei serving him, but I'm rebelling, I'm insulting, I'm going against the king. V'zohu b'mkoyim gila sham tehei rada. The Rebbe says that's the deeper meaning of that Gemara Brachas, that where there's joy, there's trembling. We always try to understand, what does that mean, where there's joy, there's trembling? So the Rebbe now has taught us that when there's the joy of confronting, of meeting Hashem, of encountering Hashem, there's the fear of what that means for you, of the responsibility that's creating in your life, of the demand that it's making. And many people run away from that. Many people run away from that. There's a Torah that I once spoke to you about from the Rabbi Yankel Ishbitzer, from the Beis Yankiv. it says in Sefer Daniel, it says that the nations of the world, Nebuchadnezzar and the Goyim, that they're God-fearing. So that sounds like something that we should all be envious of, that they're God-fearing. That seems like a gewaldig thing, that they're God-fearing. So the Rebbe from Ishbitz explains, it doesn't mean that they're God-fearing the way that we understand what it means to be Yirei Shamayim. It means they're so afraid of God, they run away from Him. They run away. There are people who do that. There's a wonderful young man that I know that he was once, you know, very, very religious, and something happened. It was a whole thing. It had to do with many things that he went through in life. And he desperately wants to come back to Yiddishkeit, but he's afraid of Hashem. So he's running. He's trying to knock on the door again. So there is such a thing that a person is afraid. So how could it be that these are two contradictory emotions? Now the teretz is, of course, not running away. The teretz is, how do you stay with it? And you feel that joy, but at the same time, you feel you're afraid. When a person thinks about this, when he thinks about the greatness of the Creator, Baruch Hu, how all worlds, and all the angels, all of the angels, everything in the higher world are constantly singing and praising Hashem. And all of those, as we say in davening every day, and they're all filled with fear and with terror. So when HaKadosh Baruch, as I said a moment ago, when HaShem Yisbarach gives you a gift, and He takes you by the hand and He shows you His treasure, meaning He shows you how wonderful it is to be a Jew, and you feel so excited and happy to be an avid of such an amazing king, what a privilege, what an honor it is to serve Hashem. But then he thinks more about this, about the greatness of Hashem. And oz tehei shom ra'oda, l'snei mihu oive. L'snei mihu oive. You know the B'ditcha wasn't just saying this, right? This is what he was living. L'snei mihu oive. Every time you say a bracha, you go through that. You say, Baruch Atah Hashem. Can there be anything more personal? In many languages, English is a very chutzpahdik language. So in English, you say you. You know, you speak to, but when you speak in Yiddish, or in many other languages, when you speak to somebody that's older than you, or you speak to a respected person, you don't say you. Right? In Yiddish, so you have this ear. There's a way to speak to someone, I guess, I don't know, in German for sure. I don't know, in Russian is there. There's a way to speak to somebody with their hearts. English is right. Because it's new. It's more mechutzah than the language. But there's a way to speak with their hearts. So when you begin a bracha, you say the most intimate thing. You're able to say, Baruch Atah Hashem. You're able to actually look at the Creator in the eyes, so to speak, and to say, you, the way that you would talk. it's not even Baruch Hu. You say Baruch Ata. I understand Baruch Hu is respectful. No, you say Baruch Ata Hashem. So then you feel, because you're filled with joy. And you say Baruch Ata Hashem. But when you think about it, then all of a sudden you go, oh boy, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. And you think that he's the master of the universe, then you're scared. A king is scary. You know, and you run away. And all of life is like this. Running and returning, Batz of Hashem. Moving closer and then being afraid. And listening, Mihu Ivan, who am I speaking to? You know, everybody's always saying, I have such a problem davening, it's so hard for me to daven, Do you know, it's an amazing thing that we're allowed to daven. You have to have reshus to daven. Just like you see in the davening for Rosh Hashanah Kippur, where the chazan asks for reshus. Really, and Rav Soloveitchik spoke about this, about this a lot in halacha. Really, it's a chiddush that you could daven. And that's why we're careful. We don't just say whatever you want. You know, it's a chiddush that you could daven. We have to be so grateful and thankful that we are able to approach Hashem and speak to him the way that one would speak to his closest friend. Listen to me, who am I daver? And the person thinks, who am I speaking to? Listen to me, who yayshev? And in whose presence am I sitting? Vaz diburus philosophy, ima viyuk ubabush. Then your words, your davening is filled with fear and with embarrassment. Vagam ksha Hashem is brought nice and adam taiva. And it's also, like I said before, if a person's like, let's say to have Hashem gives you a child, or Hashem gives you something wonderful, whatever it is, a good shidduch, a good supper, whatever it might be. There's something good that comes to your life. Hashem is brought nice and adam taiva. Kevin Shavosh, Hashem is brought nice and taiva. That you see that Hashem is doing this for you. Bruchalat taiva is from Esav Bari, and everything that's good is coming to you from Hashem. Yachsha Bedaita, you should think about this. Kevin Shahamala Godlum is Takal Bari. Right at this very moment, Hashem is looking upon me. He's giving me something. He's giving me something good. Vaisi, my taiva, is doing me a taiva. He's giving me something good. So he says, at that moment, Yesh lalo adam lulubay shura adam. At that very same moment, a person should begin to tremble, if you think about it. And to think in your mind, at least, I want to be better, I want to be worthy of this. Hashem has given this to me, I want to be worthy of this. I want to be worthy of this gift that Hashem has given me. And that's scary, because anytime, you know, we're afraid of more responsibilities. We don't want that. Liz bayesh b'maisev, and to be embarrassed a little bit about the things that are wrong, that we've done that are wrong. Lahalbish is atzum of midah sabusha, and to awaken within ourselves this midah of busha. So there are two midahs that are being activated here. When you receive the blessing from Hashem, the midah of love is activated in a very strong way. The king has showed you something from his treasury, he's given you something. And you feel that closeness, which is the midah of love. And that awakens within you the midah of chesed. Which, as the Rebbe said at the beginning, of course, awakens in the higher world the midah of chesed. At the same moment, the midah sayira is being awakened when the person thinks about this and the responsibility and obligation that it creates within him. And that causes him to step back in fear and in terror. That's the midas ayir, midas agvur. So you already have two liyushpizen. Avim and Yitzchak already are here. Kevin shamal agol mistakel b'vayse matayu v'zayif and hasheini b'mkayim gila sham tehera adav. So let's go again. V'haris ha'yisa sohu havol. The Rebbe says you want to be a Jew, first you have to think that this world, if you take it face value, is empty and void. It's absolutely meaningless. Physical desires for their own sake mean nothing at all. It's empty and void. It's never going to give you any happiness. It's never going to bring you beyond the moment. And then V'amar Kosov, V'choshech al pnei tahom. And after that it says, there was darkness upon the depths. He says, Ki tahom, what is tahom, the depths? Ki tahom nikra mekor hashefa. Mekor HaShefa means the source of blessing. the source of bracha. We usually associate with the depths with something negative. And we do find in the Sfarim that Tahom is also the letters Hamavis, which means death, and can mean something which is negative. It can mean the most negative thing of all, which is death. But you know that everything exists in such a way where Zeluma said that the most negative, which is death, is also, which is the deepest form of misery, is also, it also means the deepest good. He says, Ki tahom nikra makar shafu, ki tahom makar hamayim. Because tahom is the source of water. It's where the waters are rising from, the depths. And what does mayim always mean? Well, mayim, merumas al shefa. Mayim means chesed. Water, just like we daven for geshem. Water means bracha. Right? Water means bracha. That's why geshem is rain, is gashmis and gushom. And every year, you know, I always tell you the part from the Mishnah that we say, the Mishnah once said, Mashi Brochmer, and on Simchas Torah, and Shemini Atzeres, Mashi Brochmer, Mashi also means to take away. So he says, after Tisha B'Av, and Elul, and Rosh Hashanah, and Kippur, and all the davening, and all the stuff going on, is Mashi Brochmer, shall take away all the Ruchnius, the Murid HaGeshev, give the Jewish people some good Gashnius now. You know, there's a lot of Ruchnius, Mashi Brochmer, it's enough. Murid HaGeshev. But we could use some good Gashnius, Panosa, and health, and children, Mashi Brochmer, Murid HaGeshev. So Mayim, Mayim Gesha means bracha. So, Choshech al Pnei Tahom. There are two things that are happening. Tahom means the most unbelievable blessing is the source of water. It's the deepest good. When a person experiences the Tahom, that means when he's swimming in the deepest depths of Hashem's love and Hashem's giving, of Hashem's caring. When Hashem shows him that place of love of chesed, right, which awakens within him this midah of chesed, midah v'ahava. At the very same moment, what's ignited? What happens? For choshech, there's darkness. At the same moment, when the person comes into contact with the waters of love, with the depths of Hashem's love, he's also thrown into darkness. And what's the choshech? For choshech hu ayir, choshech means, it means which? Isn't the awesome responsibility that this creates in your life. That Hashem has shown you such love, and he's been so good to you, despite all the things we've done wrong. And there's so much mind, there's so much water in our lives, so much good. So at the moment that the water is awakened from the depths in the Tahom, the Choshech, the darkness, strikes you in a very powerful way, gives you a patch, the darkness. It doesn't mean something bad necessarily, that feeling of fear, of trembling. And the darkness is upon the face of the depths. She is labish b'midas ayir v'habusha. She mistaka v'makar ha-shefa. Pnei, the face of the depths, means that when you look at the face of Hashem's love for you, when you look at that loving face of Hashem, when you look at the face of the waters, and the water means Hashem's love, when you look at the face of Hashem and how much He loves you and how He's smiling at you and how He adores you, at that moment when you're looking at that face and you see His love, He said, you are mislabish b'midas ayir. You have to enclose that in what? In the midah of yira and busha, of awe, of fear, and even of shame. K'shemistakel m'kar Hashem. You do this, the B'dish is Yotzei.
I think that was
one of the things. No, because I know that means a lot to you. I'm telling you. Well, Milas Pnei, who is Taklus Aldova. When it says in Torah the face of something, Pnei, the face, of course, Ponim means the Pnim. It means the inner essence. It means to look at something deeply. So when it says the Pasuk, Mechoshech al Pnei Sahom, that means that when a person looks deeply into the depths of Hashem's kindness, of Hashem's love, of the waters of Hashem's giving, so then if you look at it deeply, at the face of Hashem, who shows you so much love and has given you so many brachas, then the choshech sets in, the darkness, the fear, the trembling, the busha, the embarrassment that you're not worthy, and how do I serve such a king? Who am I speaking to? Who's giving me this gift? Who's giving you this gift? who's taklos al tova. Kamesha kosev Ramban v'pashas Yisrael posig la yilucha Elohim achem al panai. Ramban explains over there, again, it means looking. Kamay al panachi yivachucha. Say the panai means to look at something deeply. V'zeo al pnei sahom. K'sha Hashem Yisbarach nois and shefa v'toiva. When Hashem Yisbarach gives you something shefa, there's brach and there's good stuff, there's toiva. As yovalom yizeh yiru u'busha. This should awaken within you also the midah of yir and of busha. U'sahayim hu'makah shefa v'armah kosef. And then what's the end of the pasuk? The ruach elokim rachefas al pnei hamayim. And the ruach of Hashem was hovering upon the face of the water. Shiyagil adam, the Rebbe says, v'midah zeh. One must accustom himself to this midah. Shekol masha Hashem is brach naisen lo. That when all that Hashem gives you, whenever He gives you, u'b'roi rachma v'chasod, He doesn't have to give you. You don't deserve any of that. We all have so many tainis about this, and tefiyas, and demands, and expectations. A person, the Rebbe says, should think that you don't deserve this, b'chlal, you don't deserve this. It's only because of roi rachma v'chasod, loy lefi ma'isev, not because of your actions, you're not worthy. U'mai nikra chesed kenoida. And ma'ayim means kindness. And that's the meaning. The ruach elokim rachefes al pnei ha'mayim klaimer. What does it mean that the ruach of Hashem is hovering upon the face of the water? Kol masha kadosh baruch hu nice and loy. All that Hashem gives you. It's all water. Hurak v'roi rachma v'chasodav. The ruach elokim. Hi ha'shefer ha'bor mi'abari is baruch. The ruach of Hashem, which is the blessings of Hashem, the bracha that comes into your life. Merachefes al pnei hamayim is hovering upon the face of the water. Hu ba miroiv chasodav. Where does it come from? This ruach elokim that's come into your life, the ruach of Hashem that's come into your life and giving you this bracha. Where does it come from? It's not because you deserve it. It's not because of your worthiness. It's because of one thing. It's because the ruach elokim is merachefes al pnei hamayim. It's coming from the pnei hamayim. It's coming from the waters. And when a person accustoms himself to this midah, to living this way, to thinking this way, then you become attached to the midah of ayin, of nothingness, and anova of humility. And then you can be a chariot upon which all the brachas of the highest worlds can enter. And that's what I was talking about, slichas. When a person makes himself into an oni, into someone who's empty and poor and who's ayin, anivus, humility makes the person into a kli to be able to receive all of Hashem's brachas. Hamramazin be'esa shamayim. Shabian lel. As it says, the Bereishis Elokim, Eisa Shemayim, that Hashem has brought, created Shemayim, all that's in the higher worlds, it's only Esar, it's only that it should be revealed in this world. Like the word S, the Rebbe explains that, though he explains earlier that the word S is like the word Asa. We just explained yesterday, V'Asa Meriven Vais Kaidish, it means arrive, to come, to arrive. V'asa miriv v'es kodesh. It's perish and possible. V'asa miriv v'es kodesh. So he says, Bereishis Elokim es ha'shamayim. The Bnei Shalom's tachlis was to create shamayim in such a way that it should be able to arrive es ha'aretz into this world. The shamayim, that all the brachas of the higher world should descend into this world, should be able to arrive into our lives. And our avoid is that we should make ourselves kalim that are worthy to be able to receive these brachas from Hashem. The next Torah it's late, we'll just have 5 minutes on page Yud Beis. So I'll just say it outside. So I wanted to do it. We'll just say it outside on page Yud Beis, which says on the pasuk v'nor yetsam Eden lahashkes es hagan, that a river was flowing out from Eden to water the garden, right? It was flowing from Eden and it was watering the garden. It's a difficult pasuk in Pshat. Does it mean
The Eden is one place and the Gan is another place. Now, what does it mean? Is the garden and Eden two different places? That's Mefarshim we'll talk about. It's a very, very hard parasha this week. But this year we have the whole week to learn Bereishis. Normally, you know, you get 2-3 days. This year we have the whole week to learn Bereishis. And everybody should try to take advantage. So the Rebbe explains in this Torah that as we said before, that the ikur of a Jew is that he should try to live in the way of Midas Tavis, the Midas of Hashem, to live that way, and to bring Nachas to Hashem. And he brings the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. It says in Pirkei Avos, Ezeder Yisharish Yavalei Ha'adam Kol Shu Tiferes Leisev Tiferes Leiman Ha'adam. The word Tiferes literally means splendor. But throughout the Vedicha Vasarmi, we already saw that the Rebbe explains Tiferes as pride. Like we say, Pe'ero Alai, U Pe'eri Alav. It says in the Piyut. In the Anamish Mius, Pe'ero, to be mispoyer means to take great pride. Great pride. To be mispoyer. So the Rebbe explains that when a Jew does a mitzvah, anything that we're doing, we should think that every single mice, every single good thought and word gives Hashem immeasurable pride. Because a person, he says, has the normal thing for a person to think is, Ma zel Hashem is baruch levnei Adam. What could Hashem possibly care about something that I'm doing, you know, some dumb little thing that I'm doing. I'm putting on the straps, so I'm lighting a candle. Like, what difference does it make that Hashem is baruch? Not only that, but I've done all these things that are wrong and so on. So the Rebbe says that's not true. The Rebbe explains that's the deeper meaning of the pasuk. The Nahar Yotze Mei Eden, he says the pshat on the second side. He says that Hashem has immeasurable joy and pleasure and delight, and you have to know that. And the last five lines of the Torah, he says, V'nahar Yotze Mei Ha'eden L'Hashkos Dahainu. Mizeh Ha'eden V'Hatanduk. Eden means pleasure, delight, and joy. That's what Eden means. It means delight and joy. He says, from that Eden, from that delight and joy that you give Hashem with every good thing that you do, Shemigil Hashem is brought that you cause Hashem to feel every time you do something that's right. Yoytzei Nahar, a river flows from Hashem. Tahainu Hashpat Tayv, as we're learning, something good comes into the world. You might not see it, it comes to somebody else. Someone else needs it more than you. But any time that you do something good or say something good, that Eden, that Nachas that you give Hashem, that Teferis, that pride, that joy that you give Hashem, it causes from Eden to flow forth a river. And that river means Hashpah. Like the word Nahar also means light. In Aramaic, Nahara means light. And that light and that Shefa flows forth from the Eden, the Nachas, that you give Hashem.
From last week's Seder, we
retain Madanei Melech. We retain Madanei Melech. And the Madan means the delicacies of the king, which the Svarim HaKadoshim say, that the greatest delicacies that the Baruch Shalom has is when a Yid is Eved Hashem on his level. Lahashke says Hagan. And it waters the garden. Waters the garden means that we don't even realize that all of the worlds, all of the higher worlds, everything that exists is being watered by what? By the Eden, by the Nachas that a Jew gives Hashem. That unleashes the rivers of life to all worlds. From the Nachas that a Yid gives Hashem. Because a person thinks, what could I possibly do? You know, last night, one of my children, my Chana Rivka, she should be well. So she was working downstairs on some project and she wanted to make something for my wife and myself. So she was down there for a long time. And, you know, it's like with sprinkles, with sparkles, with paint, you know, arts and crafts, something she was doing. So she came upstairs, you know, with this thing. Some flowers and the sun, you know, it was a sweet thing. And she was very, very upset that she said that it didn't come out right. The purple with the yellows doesn't look right, and that the heart, she made these little hearts, this heart was too fat and this heart was too little. You know, you can't put into words, but you have to say what does it mean? So for her, in her eyes, this was like such, it was like a failure. She did something she wanted to do for her father and mother, and in her eyes, she failed. And we think of that when we do mitzvahs. I didn't have the right kavanas, I didn't do it right, I didn't say it right, I don't even know how to pronounce the word, I don't know if it's vishinantim, 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 I don't know what I'm doing. This mitzvah, I don't know what it means. Only a parent knows that what How do you even put into words? The Eden, the delight, the Nachas, and the river of love that flows, and of giving that flows from the Nachas, that when a child does something, even if it doesn't come out, and Echanami, I mean, it wasn't 100% symmetrical, my thing. And the colors, but what? The kavanas, the desire to please and to do something for her father, for her mother. This is the same thing when we do a mitzvah. The Naha Yoytzimi Eden. It unleashes a river from Eden. Lahashkes es Hagan. And it waters all of the worlds from that Nachas that the Bereshit receives from us, Kiryachal, when we do anything, when we try anything to be better Jews. That's the Baditcher. We shouldn't just say it, we should know it does also. Remember, it's the outside, and if possible, maybe at home to light a candle and to put something in the poshka to think of, and there should be Le'ili Nishmas, Sadek HaKadosh, Blei Yisuf, and Sar Sash.